Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, the fifth of Moses' five books. Someone say praise the Lord tonight. I didn't get to preach this morning, but that's all right. How many know it's okay to play second fiddle to the Holy Ghost any day? And as long as the Lord has His way, I am totally 100% content. And one thing I don't ever, ever, ever want to do is try to upstage the Holy Ghost. I really feel like when the Lord moves and He has His way, like He did this morning, any preacher could get up and preach afterwards. But how many understand the Lord has a way and a purpose? And let's stand to our feet if you are able and willing this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And, you know, I believe today that the church of God, not the denomination, the assembly of believers in this world, the blood-bought, born-again children of God across the expanse of this whole world, how many understand we are the bride of Christ, irregardless of what's over the door? How many understand the group of individuals I'm talking about? I'm talking about the redeemed in this world that when the trumpet sounds, they're going to leave. I believe today, as a body, we have an identity crisis. And what I mean by that is that people of God oftentimes don't know who they are, don't understand the high privileges they have in God. How many are with me today? And with the help of the Lord tonight, I'm going to do a couple of things. I want to tell you who you are in the Lord. And if the Lord would allow me, I want to speak to the heart of God. I want to speak to you about the heart of God. Someone say, praise the Lord. If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to obey the Lord. Notice verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And I want to read this slowly and deliberately. And listen closely to the words that God told to the children of Israel, identifying them and how special they were. Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 6 says this, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." Someone say chosen. Chosen thee to be a what? Special people unto himself. Say that whole phrase. Special people unto himself. What a phrase. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. Why did He do it? But because the Lord loved you. Someone say praise the Lord tonight. And because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Will you reach your hands this way? I need the Lord's help tonight. As I say often, I'm not 100%, but the Lord can help us get where we need to be tonight. Father, we agree together in faith tonight in behalf of the message, God, that You open our mind and our heart tonight. Allow us to realize who we are in You and the high privileges as children of God that's available to Your church and children. And Lord, tonight, if You would reveal to us Your heart, show us Your love. Let us see how much, Father, that You care and Your concern for Your people and Your church. Oh, we acknowledge You in all of our ways tonight. Direct our path. Have Your way. Be glorified through this message tonight. Let Your word have free course. Let it prosper. And Father, may it find a lodging place in our heart, that it be applied to our life. Hallelujah. That would result in fruit as we show the world Your love. We praise You in advance for what You're going to do. Hallelujah. 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 Church, just lift your hands and praise Him. In this place this evening, He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise this evening. We acknowledge You in all of our ways and direct our path by Your power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, praise the Lord. as you're being seated this evening. Hallelujah. I want to read these verses again tonight. I want you to look closely at them. I want to, if I can, to glean 3 points out of these 3 verses. I'm thankful tonight for a wonderful God that's concerned about me. He's interested in my life. Hallelujah. Has a plan for my life. How about you? Does the Lord have a plan for your life? I believe He does. And I want us to realize who we are tonight. Not grope mindlessly in a world, but friend, let's have a sense of direction. Take the Lord by the hand. Allow Him to lead us through life's way. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to read it again. Verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Aren't you thankful for that? Now notice this, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. Notice that, what He promised to Abraham. How many understand when God makes you a promise that He will not go back from it? You can take it to the bank. You can trust in it. You can build your life upon it. Because the Bible says God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also in Hebrews 6, He's immutable. He's unchangeable. I believe He's absolutely dependable in every way, trustworthy. And we can build our life on Him. Somebody say amen. But hold on to this verse, and if you can, looking at the points. First of all, God chose us. I want you to say chose. And He made us a special people. Say special. And because He loved us. That love and relationship, I think, is so important today, and we need that. Go up to chapter 14. Follow me tonight in the Word best you can. Identifying who we are in the Lord tonight. We are somebody. Hallelujah. And I know you'll hear somebody every once in a while in a church stand up and start talking about how the devil's been on their back all week. I recognize we have problems and issues and heartaches. And if you don't, hallelujah. If you think you've got it, try my shoes for a while. Amen. Not complaining today. I'm grateful and thankful for all that God does and how He strengthens me and He touches me with His power. But understand who you are tonight in the Lord and put the enemy under your feet because you're a special people to God. Now, I've added Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. He says, thou art again, He said this before, thou art a holy people. Somebody say holy. How many believe we need to be a holy people? Wave at me tonight. You believe we need to be a separated, unique people in this world, a holy people. And holy is a word that describes holiness. And holiness isn't so much an outward appearance, but it's an inward heart. But how many recognize if it gets inside, it can work its way out, and it should work its way out. But He says here, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And again, the Lord hath chosen thee to be a, read this with me, what a peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. And what we find when we read the Word of God, that the Old Testament nation of Israel, the people of God centered in the Old Testament because of God's dealings with Abraham, they are equivalent to the New Testament ecclesia, which is the called out church. I believe today that I am part of the heavenly Zion. I'm part of the commonwealth and the community of believers. The Bible teaches me in the book of Galatians that through faith I am an heir with Abraham. And friends, I want you to know I have access to all the benefits that belong to those of faith. Somebody say amen. But understand the Old Testament Israel is the New Testament church when it comes to the blessings and promise of God. Someone say amen. He uses the word here, peculiar. How many of you say, that's me? I figured half of you'd start shouting. You say, I'm in the Bible. Peculiar's in there. That's me. But we think of peculiar in the sense of being strange or odd or even different. And that's applicable. But peculiar here means a one of a kind or a rare nation, breed. Amen. And I will grant you, hallelujah, that the church needs to be unique. And if something is unique, it's rare, therefore valuable. And in this world today, how many understand what goes on in the streets of our city and how sin is rampant? And I was reading the other day of a father changing his baby's diaper in the back seat of his car when a drive-by shooter drove by and shot them both. The baby lived in a hospital for a few days, but they both died. Does that not tell you how sick and depraved this world is? And to me, when you see and you read things like that, a holy church living for Jesus in this world, showing the love of God, I want you to know they would shine like a brand new penny to this world and be unique and rare. Amen. Find Malachi chapter number 3, the last book of the Old Testament. I've used these verses upon numerous occasions, and I'm going to interject them again tonight. First of all, we're chosen by God. I'm thankful tonight that God put His call upon my life. I'm thankful tonight that God dealt with my heart and allowed me to realize that I needed a Savior. How many understand that in your mind, when sin becomes sinful, that's God dealing with your heart? Amen. And that's the way I pray. I pray for God to set up conviction in the lives of our unsaved friends and our unsaved loved ones and allow sin to be exceeding sinful. Allow the Savior to look so beautiful. I want you to know when you realize you need a Savior, Jesus looks beautiful. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm glad He chose me. One scripture, Jesus said in Matthew 20. Again, don't turn. You're in Malachi 3. He said, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many are called and few are chosen." I want to make the point tonight that God chooses based upon His own set of criteria. God has His standards and His ways and His plans. God has His own, I don't really like this word, but He's got His own devices. He knows the end goal that He wants, and He understands how He wants to have it accomplished. And He chooses whom He chooses. Now, if I was God, I wouldn't have went to the house of a bootlegger in Eastern Kentucky and started dealing with a 16-year-old boy who didn't care about anything. That was me. But that's what God done. He dealt with my heart and He let me realize I needed a Savior. And I want you to know, even Jesse, the father of David, didn't think enough of his baby boy to call him in when the man of God came around to anoint the next king. He was wrote off. He was not considered. And that day Samuel said, "God looks on the heart and God don't see as man sees, friends." And I'm glad tonight that God don't see as man sees, because how often would He have wrote off Casey County? How often would He have wrote off Dunville? And the world may write you off, and the world may think you're nobody, tucked off in a corner of some rural area in South Central Kentucky. But I want you to know, like this morning, the presence of God will move when hearts are hungry, when people desire a touch and a move of God. God shows up there. God chooses whom He chooses. The Scripture uses a term, and it's called election. And it's an interesting term. You don't hear it preached a lot, but I believe it's those whom He chooses. Hold your place. Mark 13 says, "Except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved." And how many understand an awful time is coming upon this world based upon what we know of Bible prophecy? It says, "But for the elect's sake," those that He has chosen. And again, we can interpret this in a lot of ways, and I'm not getting into eschatology, the study of last times tonight. It says, "Whom He has chosen, He will shorten those days." That tells me that God, oh my goodness, if you ain't ready to shout, get ready. That means God will do a whole lot for His chosen. I believe He'll stretch the devil inside out, turn hell upside down. How many understand that His eyes are open to your cry? Hallelujah. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to your cry. He's able. He's willing today. He's mindful of His church and children. And yes, He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power that works in us. You're the called out ones. You're the assembly of the general assembly of the firstborn. and you're somebody today. And if He's chosen you and His hand's upon you, you are special. Someone say, praise the Lord. You're unique. You're peculiar. Acts 9:15, listen, but the Lord says, go thy way, for He is a chosen vessel unto me. Talking about the Apostle Paul, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. God earmarked Paul for a special job. And I want to tell you, I think we all need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody say amen. And what God has called you to do, He's called you to do it. He ain't called me to do it. How many understand the preacher can't do all the work? And I know a lot of folks think they'll drag somebody to the preacher so the preacher can get them saved. Friends, I want you to know you can share the gospel with those you come in contact with. You don't need to drag them off to the preacher, and I'll do all I can if you drag them my way. But you can lead someone to the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, I've asked you to turn here. The Bible says in where we began, there, what the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 7, that God chose us to be a special people unto Himself. I want you to say unto Himself. Now, I mentioned that one of my goals tonight, if I could paint for you a picture of the heart of God, and allow you to see the measure and the depth of His love that He has toward us. If the Lord could help me do that tonight, I believe it would be such an eye-opener. Hallelujah. You know, we only see through a glass darkly down here. We only get a partial glimpse. But I'm going to tell this assembly that what I have tasted and what I have seen, oh my goodness, when heaven is opened after a while, and I go up there, Brother Delmer, and the blinders are took off, and I can see it all and perceive it all and know it all. The little taste that I've had on this side of eternity is so good. I can't imagine what it's going to be like on that side. I'll have to have a new body. I won't be able to contain it in this over here. There's a few times down here I think I've got to the verge. I've got right to the edge of all that I can contain. Yes, it is that good. And if your walk with God ain't that good, let me tell you, come on in and get everything He has for you. You're a special, a peculiar, a unique, a rare, holy people unto the Lord in this world. Notice Malachi chapter 3. Hallelujah. My goodness, I feel this tonight. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Are you a God-fearer tonight? I fear the Lord. I honor and respect Him. I think that's something, though, that is somewhat lost in the modern church. How many have visited places and it seems like it's so casual? And folks go to be entertained. I'm preaching tonight. Are y'all with me? And it's more of a formality, and you go through the motions, you put in your time. In on time, out by nine, and everything's fine. I don't know. We get out before nine, so y'all need to be thankful for that. Hallelujah. And I didn't even preach this morning. We still didn't get out before 12. Someone say, praise the Lord. That's all right. I think we watch the clock, but I don't think God ever even notices that. He knows what time it is anyways. But folks have lost the fear of God today, it seems like. And here He's saying, they that feared the Lord. And this is actually prophetic as to the last days. Notice this. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and those that what? Thought upon His name. I just want you to lift your hands and just say, Lord, I meditate on You. I think about You. I dwell on You. Jesus, You're on my mind all the time. I think about You in the morning. I think about You in the day. I think about You as I'm driving in my car. I think about You while I'm at work. Hallelujah. Lord, You're the focus of our attention. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. If the Lord don't occupy your thoughts and your minds, and if you don't catch your mind wandering over to the Lord. How many understand we've got a life, we've got to live down here, and we've got to jobs we've got to do and things we've got to engage in. I understand that, but my mind drifts over to the Lord all the time. I'll be in the middle of something. I'll start thinking about the Lord, Sister Betty. Can't help it. My mind drifts over to the Lord. I think upon Him. Verse 17. Painting a picture of the heart of God and His precious children in this world that think about Him, that love Him. If you love the Lord, you're going to think about Him. Husbands, wives, if you love your spouse, you're going to think about Him. Amen. Notice this. God is saying, and they shall be mine, a special people unto Himself. God is saying, they're my possession. Saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, a trumpet's going to sound, when I make up my what? Jewels. His prized possession. He said, and I'll spare them as a man spares his only son that serves him. How many can see the heart and the desire of God to fellowship with His chosen? Those whom He has earmarked as His special people, His peculiar people. I believe God has a desire more than we do to fellowship with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're jewels. Notice three things here. I know oftentimes we get down on ourselves. How many ever have a pity party? Wave at me. How many beat yourself up regularly? Praise the Lord. How many ever feel like, well, I can't ever get this right? Guess what? Join the club. We've all been there and done that. Amen. You ever get in a rut and seem like you're there for a long time? Climb on out. Jesus will help you. Glory. I'm glad that He spares us. Now notice this. We are jewels. Number two, it ends this verse. Those that serve Him. And I love the fact that those that serve Him and those that have a mind and a heart toward Him, we are forgiven. Friends, there's not a person under the sound, hallelujah, of my voice tonight that you don't need sparing, that you don't need mercy, that you don't need forgiveness, that you don't need grace, that you've not messed up somewhere in your life. That's why He tells us not to judge, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us have to go by the way of the cross. Therefore, we should not look upon another in an adverse way, but with love and with mercy. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 17. I preached this verse the other day. I love the words of Jesus when He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are what? Many mansions. I know someone said that's rooms. One translation put it as rooms. Some folks have a problem with that. I believe a room of God will be better than a mansion of the world. How many will grab that? You can call it whatever you want to. I'm going there. I'm going to find out if whether there's not going to be a mansion or there's going to be a room. Hallelujah. Either way, it's going to be good. In My Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, what did He say? Y'all help me out here. I will come again. And do what? And receive you where? Where? Somebody say it. Unto Myself. That where I am, there you're going to be also. He's going back to heaven. I'm going back with Him. Glory to God. And if He comes back and fights a battle, I'm coming back with Him. And wherever He is, I'm going to be stuck to Him like glue, never to be parted again. I'll never have no more struggles. Hear me now. I don't think y'all got that. Y'all still sitting. The point is, He says, I've earmarked them as a special people unto Myself. They're for Me. They're Mine. This is the heart of God speaking. I love them. They're Mine. They belong to Me. Oh my goodness. Revelation 17. There's so many verses I could go to right now, but let me give you this. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now how many understand we went to heaven with Jesus? I believe, and you can believe what you want to believe,
But I believe we're going to be sticking to him like glue. He's going to come back and fight a battle. We're going to be right there with him. That's what I believe. There are a lot of scriptures on that. We're not going to get into that tonight. It says, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are, I've got this underlined, with him. I want you to say those two are set with him. Those that are accompanying Jesus back in this battle. Describing those three criteria says they're called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. I want to be all three of them. I want to be called, and I believe I am. I want to be chosen. I believe He's chosen me. And now I've got to remain faithful. They that endure to the end. The Bible said the same shall be saved. I want you to know we've got a teaching in this world today. And from my understanding, it's a variation of unconditional eternal security. And they call it hyper grace. And basically, as long as you have come to the altar and done your bidding, done your due, put in your time, punched the clock, you're okay to go out and do anything you want to do. How many see that that flies in the face of the holiness of God? Inconsistent with Scripture, we know that. Amen. And I love the fact, hallelujah, we remain faithful. He spares us as a man spares his son that serves him. I'm serving him. I've got my mind made up. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not going to have you turn to all these. I want you to listen as you're finding that verse. Revelation 4 and 11, he says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. He said, For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. I believe that when God comes to this old world and picks up His jewels and scoops them out, this special people, and how many understand that's not a denomination? How many are thankful for the Church of God and the organization we're part of? Our organization is doing a great work, and I believe the Lord willing, next week we're going to focus on some missions and some mission work. I believe that the church is doing, I want us to be part of. I'm thankful for that. But I'm not saved by the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. I have credentials in the highest rank of ministry. I'm an ordained bishop in the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. But I will tell you that is but a paper. That paper does not anoint me. That paper does not speak to me what to preach. That paper does not cause me to enter into the presence of God. Are y'all with me today? And I'm thankful for our group. And I love the men that are in this group. Hallelujah. We got a good one. But it's just an organization. I'm talking about the blood-bought, redeemed all across the face of this earth that know Jesus. He's going to come down and scoop them up and receive those jewels. And when He does, hear me now, the original intent of what God designed man for will be fulfilled. Are y'all with me? God made man different than all the other creatures upon the face of the earth. Man was made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and made for the fellowship and pleasure of God. God loves man. Someone say, praise the Lord. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Are y'all ready for this? I don't think you are. Are y'all listening to this? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. How many know that the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from all unrighteousness? He can do a transformation in our life and our heart, refocusing us on the right thing. Amen. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. If you're in 1 Peter chapter 2, say amen. I want you to read this with me. There's a phrase here I want to drive home. Let me ask you a question. If you were in a burning building, and as you were trying to escape, you fell and you were knocked out, and a fireman risking life and limb, came in and brought you out, how would you feel toward that individual? Have me say, he just done his job. How many would feel grateful, indebted, appreciative? I know he just done his job. I don't know. Seems like he went above his job. You would be appreciative. How many would tell somebody? If the newspaper reporter visited you in the hospital and started asking you about it, would you not say something? Someone say, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. Read this with me. I'm going to close here just in a minute. I got another verse. And after this verse, just debate if you want to make your way up here in a minute. It says, but you are a chosen generation. There's an identity crisis, I believe, in the body of Christ today. We forgot who we are. I honestly believe if we recognize who we are, we wouldn't take the devil's junk. Say amen. Or owe me, whichever one fits you. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth. That word means to broadcast and to publish the praises of Him who has rescued you, called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I've been redeemed. I've been saved. And I am not ashamed to walk up to anybody and tell them that I'm a blood-bought, born-again believer, that I know Jesus. He is my friend. I love Jesus. I like to say that. I tell people, I love Jesus. Why did He do it? Why did He do it? How many remember back where we started? But because the Lord loved you. He done it for love's sake. And because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto our fathers. How many understand that Abraham had a relationship with God? He walked with God. And the Scripture described him as being a friend of God. How many would like that title attached to your name, that you put your name there, are a friend of God? Ted Stidham is a friend of God. I'd like for somebody to testify that. Y'all, when y'all bragging on your pastor sometime, tell somebody he's a friend of God. Do that. What a name. What a title. Not that he's a good religious man. If you want to tell somebody about your pastor, I'm being a little facetious, but just tell him he loves Jesus. If they ask any more details, say, well, come listen to him. He loves Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, without hesitation, I love the Lord. And I am putting all of my trust in Him. All of my eternity. Now, there's two things here. It's the love of God and because of a relationship. And I don't want to be religious. Hear me now. There are religious folks that strap into a cockpit of a plane and run into a building and kill thousands of people. That's religion. But friends, I've got a relationship with Jesus. Abraham had a relationship with Jesus, and because of that relationship and because of his love, he earmarked the children of Israel as his people. I believe today that God the Father has a relationship with his Son, Christ the Son. And because of what Jesus done and how that he purchased, hallelujah, this church on the cross, I believe we have a special love that God has for us. Are y'all with me tonight? Let's stand to our feet as Sister Betty's preparing a song. You know, love is a great motivator. I mentioned about the burning building earlier. How many stories do you hear about parents running into a burning building or jumping into water to save a child? How many parents can understand that? Wave at me. Of course you can. Of course you can. That love is a motivator. It's the reason we do for our children. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, says, can a mom, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she not have compassion on the son of her womb? Hard to imagine that a mama can forget. But there are times in this world mamas forget, or mamas are not what they need to be. But God went on to say, but I can never forget you. She might forget because I've got you engraven on the palms of my hands. It's because of the love of God today that you are earmarked as a special people. It's because of John 3:16. Can you quote it with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just lift your hands and praise Him for what Jesus did on the cross, for what He provided through His shed blood. Lord, we're thankful tonight. We're grateful tonight for Your provision. Thank You, Lord, for what happened on Golgotha's Hill 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we don't fully understand all of the ramifications of what You did for us then. But we know that You provided all things by Your death, by taking our place, by shedding Your precious life's blood for us. And Lord, we receive everything You have for us this evening. Be glorified through this church. We honor You. We praise You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. I want us to come this evening. Everyone that would, let's gather around the altar, find a place and pray. Call upon Jesus tonight. Call upon Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.